Welcome to the JPEG to Raw show number 229 here in March 19th. And we're going to get right into the topics of the day. So, Tim, I've gone out and, you know, we do this look for articles and all those things and what we find interesting and everything. But before we get into those, if you remember two shows ago, maybe, I got that email from Great Adventures or Great Escapes or whatever that
place was. Yeah.
That wanted me to sign up and, you know, I get whatever kind of crap. I sell my photos. And then I went through it. They wanted my email. And AD said, don't give it. Use a fake email. And I do have a special email. I'll sign up for stuff. That is my spam email. And I sure wish I had done that.
Oh.
Because I have gotten a crap load of spam from them. And they're the Great Escapes Publishing is the name of the company. So, I just wanted to update you on that. I never gave them a credit card because they, you know, this whole money making thing with them required me giving them my credit card.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a red, you know, red flag right there. But you know, they also sent me an email saying, "Hey, final day is to save $600. I could save $600
if you pay
by you know for attending the 2019 Ultimate Photographers Workshop from home."
So home.
Yeah, it's a virtual workshop. And I'm going to be able to save $600 if I hurry up and do this. Funny thing is that Final Days has been, I forget when I got the email, maybe a month ago. And it's still the Final Days.
It's going to be final up until April 15th.
Yeah. And look, if you or somebody affiliated with these guys or have worked with them in the past, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at podcast@jpegtoraw and tell me your experience, because everything I see when I look at this, from my personal perspective, it looks scam. Yeah, they show something where if you take photos like these, a dog scratching itself, you know, $800, a picture of a restaurant booth, $280, $2,800 for an infrared shot of a clock.
Clock.
And just on and on and on. And I don't even remember where the actual price is. I guess this guy took a bad photo of foundation of a house or something.
Yeah. Is that what I was going to say? That's what it looks like.
And so basically you're trying to make the thing here where you don't have to take good photos. You can take any kind of photos and then, you know.
And we'll still charge you.
And we'll still charge you and you can still make money. So,
but you're going to save $600.
$600 on the virtual, whatever it is, meetup. So, good gosh, I don't even know. Here it goes. Registration is now open. And this is another red flag where you have to go forever before you can find the price.
Actually, I would think that's less of a red flag because they don't want to take your money forever.
Well, you know, how much if I scroll down? I'm like halfway. That's insane. Jeez. So let's just grab this thing and just go much further down.
Maybe they don't want your money.
I don't know. Well, it says click here. Okay, we'll just do that. Click here and save $600. At the door price. I don't know what at the door price. Oh, I guess you can send in person. $3,100. Lock in your seat, just $197. So I guess it was going to cost $797 for the virtual one. Yeah. The other thing is, it seems kind of.
So it's not virtual then.
Well,
they're going to charge you $3,100 for a virtual class.
No, I think that's what if you went to the class.
Okay.
The other thing is, they make it really hard to go to their actual website from this. That just seems scammy. I'm going to get rid of that and see if we can't go to the actual website. And then I'm going to show you something else. If you're a photographer and have your own web page, something's going to happen here that I'll tell you, do not do. It really makes visitors upset. There you go. See that pop-up?
I hate pop-ups.
I hate pop-ups. Now, maybe if you did it once and had one pop-up, hey, and you have great content, I'll say, okay, but don't give me more as I browse through your site. So I decided, hey, let me see what other events they got going on. So they got like a Bali event, a Kenya event, a Jordan event, a Brazil event. The Brazil one's way out there. November. What the hell? Better the Brazil one. Sorry for the French. Oh, look at that. Sold out. Everyone I checked was sold out.
Oh, so that's fake.
Yeah, so you wonder, you know, what the heck? How are all of yours sold out? Maybe
except for this one that they're going to let you save.
This one, the one you can get into, I think, is not this one I'm showing here, but the one I was talking about earlier. It's virtual. So why would there be any limits there? These seem like you're actually going to go to Brazil and shoot leopards or whatever.
Yeah, when they're all sold out like that, I get very suspect, because that to me, that's like, oh, look how good we are. We're sold out, but you can still get in this one.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have had any experience with them, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong. Experience.
Maybe I'm wrong, and I'd like to hear about it. I'm not going to reach out to these people to have them on the show, because that just gives them more press if they're scammy, and not something I want to do. But I should have signed up. The lesson there is I shouldn't have used my podcast at JPEGDRAW email, because now I get emails from them all the time. But all kind of crap, including that thing, you know, saying, hey, save $600 if you sign up here. All right, so enough of that. Let's head over to something that's really cool and probably is a bigger, a more fitting to your cameras, Tim, than mine. Okay. And that is, have you seen this where you can get filters that instead of going on the lens, actually go like inside the camera body?
No, I did not see this. This is the first time I'm seeing this.
So I'm going to play this little video. There won't be any audio. Some of it is just people talking, but we'll keep talking as it goes. And you'll be able to see a little bit here. Now, you would think that this has got to be only for mirrorless cameras like the Sonys and the new Nikon and Canon and Fuji and others like that. But they also have some for some DSLRs, which I'm not quite sure how that works. You got to really be careful where you put it. I guess you might be able to put it in there. Not all DSLRs. We'll look at it in just a second. But it is a select list of like Nikon full frames. I think they only do it for the full frames. And the thinking there is that you put it in there. They claim it's perfectly safe, unless I guess you dig it in there wrong.
Jam it into something, right.
Yeah, and do that. But then it makes, you know, lenses that you couldn't put a filter on before. Let's say you had a fisheye that you couldn't, it has no filter thread, so you couldn't put a filter on it. And it had the bulging disc, so you couldn't use something like Lee filters or something. Or maybe you, like most of us, have bunches of lenses with different, filter thread sizes. And there you go. They're showing it going into the camera now. And then instead of using a filter for each one, you could use just this one filter you put inside the camera, and then you know, you have that for all of your lenses. And they just have like ND filters right now. I think they have ND filters in some star, like, you know, astronomical.
You know, I'm not even going to try it.
Astronomical. You know, the stars. If you're taking pictures of like the Milky Way and stuff, they have some of those.
Astrophotography?
Something like that. I don't know if they have anything else. Well,
now, I'm not seeing which cameras it belongs on.
Well, there's some Canons and some Nikons.
And I see some of the newer Sonys, but
we'll move ahead. So there's a Sony. Was that A7?
A7.
Yeah, I couldn't see what it was.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, they're out of Taiwan. Which, you know, so what? Let's go back to where they put it in. So right there, you can see it inside the camera. And that's a Sony A7.
Yep.
Is that A7A or A7? What is that?
That's probably A7S, or okay. Is it eyes? I can't read it.
And so it looks like it almost looks like the camera's made to hold that. And you don't have to worry about the mirror flapping up. So, you know, that as long as you're not touching anything else in there, that might work. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I'm looking how they install it. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would do it, but you know what? That doesn't mean it wouldn't work.
Yeah, doing anything near, like as GF says in chat, doing anything near the sensor could be dangerous. You're right. All it's going to take is one time you putting it in wrong and hitting the wrong thing. So, you know, I they don't even make it for my camera, so I wouldn't use it. But they do. Like, if you're a Nikon user, they don't have.
I mean, it looks like it fits well before the sensor, though. The way I'm looking at how it gets inserted.
Yeah, I'm only going to show Nikon, but they do have this, I think, for some Canon full frames too. So if you're a Nikon full frame user, they only have the Astro filters. They don't have the ND filters, but it'll fit on the Nikon DSLRs. And I wonder if this is a little dated. Because it says D4, D4S, D800, D810, D750. I do have the D700 still. No, I don't. Yeah, I do. Okay. D600, D610. They don't mention the D5 or the D850. I don't know if that's just because this was made before them or it doesn't work on there. Although I think the 750 came out after the 850, so maybe not. And it shows a little before and after. Anyway, like GF said out in chat, I personally would not stick that in my sensor area. And I don't have a mirrorless camera.
Yeah, I don't know that I can see myself doing this. I just finally cleaned the sensor in my camera because I had taken pictures. I was like, oh, God, and it's only when I was, you see them in the clouds or the blue sky. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I actually had to go beyond the blower and use the visible dust sensor cleaner, and it worked perfect. Okay. I used 80s idea of taking a picture of my screen, a white screen, to check it out to see if it worked, and so far it looks good, everything.
Yep. I probably need to do my D500. I know I need to do the D2X. Do that again. Because I think the D2X is the one that I did. It's the one I converted to infrared. The one I did live a while back, but I did it wrong, if you remember right. So I need to go back. I need to go back and do it again correctly.
Well, that's because we were doing it live.
And for the first time, yes. I need to go back and do it correctly.
Without reading the instructions. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to skip ahead to one of your articles, Tim. And that is, speaking of Canon and Nikon, you had an article about the future of Canon Nikon.
I wasn't actually asking about the future, but it was questioning, I guess, what is where is Canon Nikon going, and are they the new Kodak, was the question. And I think most people know who Kodak was. They were by far the leader in film photography, and ultimately they did not make the switch over quick enough from film to digital. And I know I was a little slow with it at the beginning, but once it started switching over, going over to digital, they continued with the film. I remember they did have a couple of cameras at the beginning, but nothing really that got caught with the market. Nikon, Canon took over the digital. I think Minolta was there. Ultimately, Minolta was bought out by Sony. And those are really predominantly the three largest brands. And I think we talked about this probably about 6 or 8 months ago in one of our podcasts, that Canon and Nikon were finally coming out with their new mirrorless cameras, kind of to compete with what Sony had out there, as well as a lot of other companies that were out there right now. And a lot of people were underwhelmed. They thought they were going to be happy with it, but they were very underwhelmed by the cameras. The financials for both Canon and Nikon, they did not meet the revenue targets of 2018. And the question is, are they starting to lose it out there? And by no sense are they faltering yet, but they still are number one and number two out there. But there are other brands out there. I think they talked about Sony and Fuji were the other ones who were out there. Luminous. Panasonic, yeah. Olympus. And you know, I think about it when you go back, I forget how many years ago, when Olympus was pretty big in film photography, and they kind of were kind of like Kodak, where they didn't switch over to digital and they faltered. And then now you're starting to see them, you're starting to see Fuji again, and Fuji, if you think of that, was Fuji Film. So they were right there with Kodak. Kodak still doesn't have anything with photography, and I think they're probably pretty much completely out of it now. Panasonic always had the point-and-shoot cameras, I think is what they were probably better known for, as well as their, I don't want to say they weren't SLR cameras, but they were definitely better intermediate cameras because they had really good lenses on them, but they were not interchangeable lenses. I can't remember what the category was called.
I had, so my first camera from a like a point and shoot was an Olympus E10. And it had what looked like a removable lens. If you looked at it, you'd think it was a removable lens.
Right, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. And it was really highly spoke of. A lot of people love that camera. I never really came to like it. It seemed to have quality issues with me. It was slow. The max shutter speed was 640, 1/640th. Mm-hmm. The focus was slow. That's what really pushed me to move to Nikon. I went to Nikon D60. But history is littered with companies who were one time the leader and are now no longer there. I think it's Jeff Bezos. I might be saying this wrong. It's maybe him that has this list. No. I think it's the guy that runs Walmart, or the person who runs Walmart. Somebody like that, some major head of a big company today. Right. They have a little chart that they keep with them that is the decades from like the 1900s or whatever it is. And it's the top 10 retailers. And
it's probably Walmart. It would make more sense to me.
Yeah, and if you look at that, you can see for a good number of decades, it was Sears, and then some other names that you might have heard of up there. And then all of a sudden, Walmart starts coming, moving up, and then displaces Sears and is the top leader for a while. And then in the last decade, from nowhere, Amazon comes up. So his point with that was you can never, even when you're at the top, you can't be comfortable and say, no one can touch us, or it will take, a century for somebody to catch up to us, because things can move pretty fast. And Sony and Nikon and Canon have to be aware of that and continue to move. They're on the Nikon side, the Z7, Z6 were really lackluster. They did nothing. I'm considering my next camera upgrade, and it did nothing to convince me that one of those two need to be the camera.
I agree. And that was exactly the point of this. And I think they talked about it. Canon still had a 49% share of the market. Nikon has a 24.9%, a slight decline, and Sony is at 13.3% with a 2.9%. So you look at that, that's over 80% between those three companies. But the problem is, if these new cameras are starting to take off and people are starting to switch, and we've always talked about this, the person that does not have brand loyalty yet because they don't own five lenses or anything.
Didn't mean to be showing that.
Because they don't have, let's say, five lenses.
Yeah.
That's the person that may go into another brand. And if they go into another brand, that's where Canon and Nikon may lose out. And that's if their cameras aren't up to snuff. Now, I think, the Z6, Z7, they were nice cameras, but for what they offered, I think they were a little expensive. And you're not going to get people to come into it. And a lot of people expected them to have a lot more. So I think time will show. I think one of the other issues they talked about was Canon's camera came out, and when they introduced it, it didn't have 4K, or it was a lackluster 4K. So they complained about it. So you're coming out with this new camera, but it's not going to have 4K, which everybody else's camera does. And Canon doesn't release a lot of cameras quick. Second, they didn't have two cards in it. They only had one card. And I think every professional say they're not going to go out with a camera with only one card in it. And then I think you have, what is the card in the Nikon? Is it the XD card?
I have the XQD card in this Nikon.
XQD, that's right.
Yeah, XQD.
Which that's the only camera that uses it, really.
Well, there's some other Nikons, and there's...
Well, just Nikon, I think.
Yes. But we'll talk about this in a little bit later. I've mentioned on the previous show, firmware updates coming, so we'll take CF Express cards in the future, which are physically, the same pin layout and everything. Mm-hmm. So I found that thing I was looking for. So, why are we talking about Walmart? Why are we talking about Walmart and Sears? Well, I think it fits within the industry. And this is what the Walmart CEO carries around. If you look at 1950... 1960, 1970, 1980, it's Sears, 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 Sears at the top. Some of these others you probably never heard of before. Like in the 19, let's go to 70s, which is not that old. Kmart was number three. They're not even in the top 10 anymore.
Yeah,
Gibson was number four. Zaire was number five. Brown Shoe was number six. Two Guys, number nine. Well, let's look at number two. Fortune Brands. Who the heck is that?
Nope.
Never heard of those people. So then if you're in 1990, or on this card, 1990, Walmart overtook Sears, where when you look at the 1980 timeframe, so just a decade earlier, they were number eight, Sears number one. So 1990, Walmart overtakes Sears, goes to number one, Sears number two. And then in 2000, they slip, Sears slips back to three. Still no Amazon. 2010, Sears is number 10, still no Amazon. And then in 2017, so not even a full decade later, Walmart's still number one, Amazon number three.
Wow.
So in a seven-year time frame, Amazon, I don't know what they were in 2010, Amazon goes from not in the top 10 to number three, and I don't know what they are now.
Yeah, they're bordering with number one, I would think. I mean, they're the richest company in the world right now. And you know what? I think about it. You think about my business. I work for UPS, and my main competitor is FedEx and the post office. Then going back in the I guess it was the early 2000s, DHL tried to come into the United States with the ground delivery, and they faltered. And I remember talking to customers at the time. They said they were happy between UPS and FedEx, and they were going to let some other companies see how they fared before they put their packages there. And they wound up faltering and pulled out of the United States because you need volume in order to survive. Suddenly Amazon is out there and they're delivering left and right. And they are now probably our biggest competition. And they say they're not competing with us. I don't really believe that. And I wouldn't have thought any company could get the network up to do this, but they have the packages and they're able to do it.
They can challenge really almost any industry. They are starting to run into a few headwinds because a few companies, you know, a part of Amazon, we're going to get off here, Amazon, just a second, but a part of Amazon that a lot of people don't realize is a big moneymaker for them is their Amazon Web Services, which is, you know, Netflix hosts. If you watch Netflix, it is coming from
watching
through an Amazon server. They are by far the largest web server, web host, and server farm out there in the world. But more and more companies, I think Volkswagen just announced it, and some others are starting to say, "Hey, Amazon's starting to get into our industry,
our core network."
Yeah, and we're not going to run our servers on AWS and give them money to help compete against us. So what we're going to do is go to Microsoft, and so Microsoft has Azure, which is still much smaller than AWS, but it's gaining, and they use that as a selling ploy. Why would you give Amazon your money when they're just going to turn around and use it to compete with you? Come to us. Mm-hmm. We promise we won't compete with you. And that's winning some customers over. Ultimately, you got to worry them about your server being reliable, and Microsoft has proven they can be reliable. But going back to Nikon and Canon, I don't think there's anything right now. I'd say, you know, they're Kmart. They're just surviving and riding out to their dead, which I think Kmart is my feeling.
Yeah, it might.
That they're going to die a slow death. But
would have ever thought Sears would falter as bad as they did?
Yeah, and they died a slow death, but they did lose number one pretty fast.
Or Toys R Us. I mean, yeah. These are big companies, but
Canon and Nikon still have. They can make some changes. They need to be. On, you know, the Olympics 2020 is coming up soon. There has been rumors that Nikon's coming out with the new D6, the next, you know, their top line cameras, the D5, they're going to come out with D6. The question is going to be, is I bet you Sony comes out with a new camera for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have a mirrorless, a new top of the line mirrorless for the Olympics, just my prediction. The question will be, will Canon and Nikon, will their new top of the line camera they want to push for the Olympics only be a DSLR, or will they have a new version that can be a high-speed sports camera that is a mirrorless? Because like it or not, and I don't know why you wouldn't like it, but like it or not, I think mirrorless is the future. It's not going to be overnight. You can't get any more, because I think the next generation, there will be at least one more, maybe two more, maybe three or four more iterations of DSLRs within Nikon brand. But more and more, it's going to be the mirrorless. And part of the article goes into what is driving some of these challenges that these companies are having. And it's these guys. It's the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Pete, you don't need to carry a DSLR a lot of times.
Yeah. When I went to Alaska last summer, I brought my camera. but I also brought the phone. And the one thing with the camera is I kept switching back and forth between lenses. And then I decided, screw that. I'm going to keep one lens on here to take one type of photo. And then all the other photos I'm going to take with my phone. So, you know, that was what I ended up doing. Somebody just asked me 2 days ago, sent me an email. A listener sent me an email and said, hey, what point in shoot? We're going to, where are they going? They may be going to Alaska. What point in shoot? What point and shoot camera should I buy to go to Alaska? And they gave me three choices that they were looking at. And my first thought was, look, I didn't go. I didn't bring a point and shoot. I brought my phone. But they did have a use case that still fits for point and shoot. Because let's say you don't either have one of these or don't want to invest in one of these and lenses or don't want to take it with all, you know, with multiple lenses. And you have a decent phone, but the one thing a phone is lacking is, you know, Zoom.
That's exactly yes. It. If you want to take pictures of your family or something, or just general pictures, they're great. But if you need to zoom in on something, that's where they definitely lack.
So this one has
or sports photography.
Yeah, right. This one has two cameras on it. One is a little bit more zoomed in. One's a little bit more wide. But, you know, zoomed in is still minimal. So the three he was looking at, I think, range from a optical zoom. Let's forget about digital zoom. You can do that in post later on. Digital zoom, one of those point and shoots, is crappy. So only optical zoom. They range from a 30 times optical to a 40 times optical zoom. Yeah, I don't know, when you say 30 and 40 times, you really need to know the millimeters. I didn't look at it that much. But it's going to give you some decent zoom with some stabilization involved in that. And when you're in something like Alaska and you may see a bear, you may see an eagle or a moose or something like that, you may have times you want to zoom in and your phone's not going to be able to do that. So I think that's still a use case. It's small. There's not a whole lot of times you bring that little point and shoot and you have, you know, this, but this is replacing for a lot of people, you know, the DSLR. And that's what's really, or in the mirrorless, that's what's hurting Nikon and Canon.
And will for a long time.
Yeah. And on our show Sunday, when we did the photo review show, and you have to go and watch this in the post. So in the edited version I'll put up later, you won't see it, but the raw version is always up on our YouTube site, on the YouTube channel. Go to the post where AD shows us a photo he took out his back window, off his back deck, where there's snow everywhere. And it looked like it was, I'd made a guess that I thought it was either sunrise or sunset. It looked like it was maybe a little bit dark. Or, you know, something like that. And I guessed it was probably from a cell phone because I thought he was probably trying to trick me. And I was right. It was from his cell phone. He has the Pixel 3, I think it is. And he's using the Google phone app. And it was taken at, I think, 2 in the morning when it was pitch black dark outside.
And he's using the night sight.
Yes. And it uses something like, you know, when you hold it, no matter how good I am right here, I'm actually moving a tiny bit. And the camera, the phone, is actually taking a bunch of photos all at once and using the pixel shift technology to then bring them all into one photo. So you get a high dynamic range, you get less noise, and an overall sharper image using that pixel shifting technology. I thought that is really cool.
I have that same phone, and I was up in Albany at the Capitol, and from my hotel room, I had a view of the Capitol building, and it was probably about 7 o'clock at night in late January, maybe even 6 o'clock. It was kind of that blue hour. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the picture that came from my phone, I was amazed. I was like, I don't think I could have gotten that, or it would have been difficult to get that picture out of my camera. And here I took it by holding my camera up to the glass in the hotel room so that it would be steady.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. These guys are getting better and better now. You know, the sensor is always,
and you always have it.
Yes. The sensor is always going to be smaller than this.
Yes.
So this is going to have a bigger sensor than this. So you could say, as long as Nikon and Canon and Sony fight to keep these things updated and keep on pace, they should be able to do anything this can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can fit it in this, you should be able to fit it in this.
The phone supplanted the point-and-shoot cameras.
Yes.
There's no need to buy a point-and-shoot anymore because you don't have to carry that because your phone can already do it.
Yep.
I think that's probably the big difference. And maybe the only thing it can't do is the flash on it is probably nowhere near as powerful as what would have been on a point and shoot, which wasn't very powerful anyway.
Right. But. And plus, it's going to blast people right in the face.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of phones, this company, which is, I think, banned from selling to the U.S. government, right?
Is that Iowa?
Yeah. Banned from, they have some kind of federal ban against them, which right there makes me nervous about buying anything from them. Back in 2016 and in 2018, they were releasing new phones, and in their ads, they used images that were taken from a DSLR, insinuating that this was what you could take with your phone. So they were caught twice doing that. You would think that from the backlash that they would have learned a lesson, but nope, they just did it again. they again used a photo that was on Getty Images taken by, let's see, who's the photographer? They said it down here somewhere. Taken by Tom Pfeiffer. He took that photo of the mountain range. And okay, so this here, I don't know if I can zoom in on these. This is their ad. Now, I can't read that language, but this is their ad. They have these photos with the ad about their new phone. So you would be led to believe these are images they took with the phone. Why else would you show me these images if you're not trying to say these are the images I can take with this phone in your ad about the phone? But this one was taken by that guy I just mentioned, Tom Pfeiffer. The next one is somebody that you may have all heard of, Jake Olson, like a person we almost had on this show. And that is the one here, the little kid reaching for the duck. And they come out and said, this is their response. We've made aware that there might have been some misunderstanding. How that happened, I don't know. Regarding our recent P30 series teaser photo posters. Okay. We would like to reiterate that these are, in fact, only teaser posters and are only intended to hint at the unique new features that will come with the new P30 series. That sounds like you're trying to say these aren't the images taken with this, but they're supposed to represent the things you
can
do with it.
What can be taken with it, right?
Yeah.
Well, then show us what can be taken by it.
And then they say that they have acquired the license to the original images, and the posters are artistic renditions of said features only. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the media for their interest in our posters. We have much to announce in the coming weeks. Please stand by. That does not sound like a full-on apology. We realize what we did, and we're not going to do it again. That sounds like you guys are just idiots. I know these are photos that we put on here, but and they're not taken with this camera, but we mean for them to represent what you'll get from this phone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's the same thing. What are you talking about? Anyway, I'm not going to buy their phone, regardless of whether these were taken with these images are taken with that anyway.
Now, if I remember correctly reading it, I think I can't even say the name of it, Highway. They got 5 lenses on their camera.
Is that the one that has all those lenses on the back?
I think that's the one, because they were talking about it. They said you can't get it here. Oh, okay. So I think that's the camera or the phone that has 5 lenses on it, which that's interesting in its own right.
Yeah. That is a little crazy. Now, I have do you have another article? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and do yours then.
Okay.
Go ahead and do your next one. And because I have, if you're a female watching the show, I have 2 articles that are specific to females.
Maybe. All right. So then I guess I can leave.
One of them may or may not be specific, but it is, I think it's going to more appeal to females. The last one, as a dude, I think it's really cool too, but probably females can relate to it more than I can. But either way, I think it's really cool and something, one, I'd never be able to do, but something, if I was able to do it, I don't think I could do it. Anyway, that's a little teaser for one, something's coming up. Before we get to that, Tim has an article here. I read this article too, and I was
very, very
considering. Bring it in. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that I read this yesterday, and I was like, "Oh, this being interesting, just because of what happened, and now the critics to it. Now, whether you like art or not, I guess that's a whole nother story. But it's called The Vessel at Hudson Yards, and it's almost reminds me of Harry Potter, where you have interconnecting staircases. I think if I remember correctly, it's 154 different interconnecting staircases. And what's interesting about it is, if you take a picture of this, it is automatically considered theirs. So they force you to sign when you get the ticket, and it's part of the EULA when you buy the tickets online. It says, as the owner of the recordings, company has the unconditional, irrevocable right to reproduce, display, and use the recordings, including for advertising, marketing, promotional purpose in all media and all formats, whether known or later developed later. So they really went way over the top of this, and people are getting really upset, to where one person said, well, just take the picture, post it on Creative Commons, and then they don't have access to it because it's no longer yours and anybody can use it. But I think that, and they've come out today and said they're gonna reevaluate. Reword it, I guess. But
didn't they go even a step further, that if you went there and you know, bought the ticket and went there, that later if you went off their property
And took pictures
took
of
a
it,
picture of it from off their
and
property.
It. They could, they had
that,
the rights
that
to it.
Now they have the rights to it too, because at one point in time in the past millennial, you went on their property and bought a ticket. For like me, if I just walk by it and don't ever go into their property and buy a ticket and take a photo of it, you know, I may better use it for commercial because, you know, I need to get a commercial release, but I still own that photo. What they're trying to say with their thing is, if you ever go onto their property and buy a ticket, for all of eternity, any photo you ever take of this place from any angle is
in
theirs.
Perpetuity. Yeah. So if you're ever going to buy get a ticket there, don't use your name.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, really. It seems like they went overboard, and a lot of people have chimed in on it. And sounds like today they're going to soften it up. But you know what? They shot the first shot across the bow, I guess, is the way you could look at it. So they're trying to see what they can get away with on this.
Yeah, they didn't accidentally do that. They intentionally did that. Yeah.
This was intentionally. And
yeah, that was intentional. Yeah, okay. So we'll keep track of that one.
Yeah, see what's happening with this in the future. See whether or not they change it.
Yep. All right, so first up in my two featured female-leaning stories, Tim, do you have your camera nearby?
Yeah. You need me to get it?
Yes. So I want to do a test. I want to do a test.
You know what?
Okay, hold on. We're going to do a slight pause. Let's wait for Tim to come back. Nice pants you got there, buddy. Oh, you can't hear me. I like
probably saw my Harry Potter pants.
I like your pants. Yeah.
I was like, darn.
I was saying that, and then I realized you couldn't hear me. Cool. Right. Okay. So here's a test. I want you to hold the camera up to your face and take a vertical picture.
Okay. Vertical?
Vertical.
I think I got my, all right.
All right.
I don't have any batteries in.
Okay.
So I can't,
like... Yeah. That's all we want to see. Because when I go to shoot, I do it like this, with the elbow up.
So how do you do it again?
I shoot like this.
So you would have one hand up here like that?
I would.
To me, that's uncomfortable. I think I was taught to have my elbows at my side because that's supporting me.
Okay. So the question here was, That there's this YouTuber who takes a female YouTuber who takes a lot of photos for her vlog, and she kept getting lots of comments, I imagine from dudes, that you're holding your camera wrong. Again, you're not going to be able to hear this when I bring it up, but you'll get the idea as we go through it. And so these two photographers are trying to show taking a photo. Wait, that is not the right one. Did I pull up the wrong one?
Your link looks like it was missing.
We gotta watch an ad. Let me switch back to us while we do this stupid.
So you don't have a pro account for YouTube then, if you got to see an ad.
I don't. And now I got to go back to my history because that's not who I wanted to see, those two ladies. But you get the idea that the two of them were trying to show you how they were saying that holding the camera that way was wrong. Here we go. Okay. So this photographer, this person is Irene Rudnick, and she's a vlogger on YouTube, and she's talking about, let's get off that, talking about holding her camera wrong. She's gotten tons of people who've told her, you're holding your camera wrong. So she decided, maybe I am holding the camera wrong. Let me go and research. And what she found was article after article after article that was saying, yeah, the right way to hold it is like this. I don't have a lens on here, but you would then support the lens like that, and you would hold it like this. And she tried that, and you know, so there you go. She's showing how she holds her camera right now. Get rid of that ad. She tried it the other way, and she said it got tiring, and it hurt her to hold it that way. And when she comes and shows us this, she also said it dug into her boob as she did that, and was very uncomfortable to hold it that way. So
don't have that problem.
Yeah. So she then, you know, she'll show us the way she holds it. And she has found that what she's found is not a lot of females writing articles. You know, vertical, like she just showed them there, is easy. Everybody holds it the same way, that way. But not a lot of articles written on the proper way to hold it actually horizontal. Not the proper way to hold it in vertical, written by females, most of them. So here she goes, that's the way I was just holding it. And she's saying that is just totally uncomfortable because that one arm is having to hold up the, you know, a lot of the weight. And, you know, she may not have all the muscle that does that, and it gets uncomfortable after a while. So as she researched and found, like, Andy, what's the famous female photographer? Andy, she does a portrait photography. Good gosh, I'm not going to remember her.
I don't know what it is.
But she found lots of other female photographers hold it the way she does. And she's thinking that it may be, one, it may be a person-to-person difference. Annie Leibovitz, yes. So Annie Leibovitz holds it the same way as Irene here. She's saying that it may be a male versus female thing, and that for females, it's more comfortable to hold it the way she was holding it, like, which is like this. Versus that she's referencing these two, where they're being a little silly by elbowing each other in the face, but you get the idea. Actually, what's funny is when I look at the way they hold it, it actually looks more comfortable and normal the way they're holding it versus the way I'm holding it. But that's just the way my arms go.
Yeah, that's, I can't imagine. Actually hurts me.
So
that hurt. And to me, this, I feel like I'm not stable this way versus this way. I was always taught you hold the camera like this.
Yeah.
With your hand so that the weight is here holding the camera, and then the other hand is using to take the picture. And then you're steadying your elbows against your body because it's preventing you from moving as well. That's how I always was taught, and that's how I've always done it. Yeah. Am I doing it right? You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, so if you look at that, oh, dang it. Hold on. See if I can get back to that one spot. I've got to be more ready. Okay. You know, that looks less comfortable than what she was doing before, but that is how I hold it. And it's, you know, without thinking, that's how I'm going to do it. And I think if I've tried to hold it, you know, how do you do it?
I got my hands are, and then if I go, it's the same, no matter how I do it.
Oops,
it's still like
go
this.
Back just a tad. Not there. Hold on. I want to get to her way of doing it. So I would hold it like this. I should have put a stupid lens on this. Wait. But I'm going to. Wait. No, I got it the whole wrong way. I got to put the shooting thing down.
Oh, she's.
She's got the shutter button down.
That's it.
Yeah, I could do that. It doesn't feel as stable to me.
All right, so now so obviously I'm not using now the...
Yeah, shut her down. Gary just said in chat, shut her down. So,
oh, I could do that too. That's not that bad.
Yeah, I don't know if... Good grief, I'm going to need to go out and try it now.
If you're using a grip, you can't do it that way. Because you think about it, the grip has the button.
And I normally shoot with this one with a grip. And so my shutter would be on the other side.
Yeah. On the other side, because I can't. Now I'm twisted. Now I'm really uncomfortable.
You can lock your elbows better. You can lock your elbows better by doing this. Yeah, maybe. Well, does feel. Right. It feels unnatural to me.
I'm gonna have to try both. Doing
it. Now. It feels unnatural to me, but I think the point there is, hey, if she's getting quality work out of doing it that way, then. Don't be so eager to come and tell her she's doing it wrong. That way is working for her. She had other reasons. I mentioned this is not an issue that most of us guys are going to face, but you know, it was uncomfortable in her chest area with holding it the way I was, you know, doing it like this, because this arm is digging in to her side. But if that works for you, and that's the way it works for me, and I guess maybe I'd do it also because I'd normally shoot with a grip. The point there being, shoot the way that works for you, not the way everybody keeps telling you have to do it.
Right.
Now, to her credit, I would say this, and this is what we probably should all do. Someone says you're doing it wrong. Don't go immediately get defensive. I give her a lot of credit for saying, maybe I am doing it wrong. Let me go out and take a look.
Then go research and see.
She went and
researched. Maybe there is a better way of doing it.
Yeah, because if it improves what I'm doing, I want to know about it. And so she researched it and came back and said, nope, you know, I like the way I'm doing it. It works for me. And hey, it may be a gender specific thing that more females like to do it this way and more males like to do it that way, but not something that is required by your gender. You know, it could be either way. So I think that's a great story for any photographer and anything in life. Of, you know, if you're faced with people telling you negative stuff, self-reflect, look at it, but ultimately you do what you want to do. You do you. Right? All right. So if you think that woman is incredible, this next one takes it to a whole new level. this last article we have here is, I got to imagine this is going to be the ultimate. So we've had birth photographers on here before, right, Tim? I can't remember. I know Kathleen has done some. We've had some other photographers on here who have done some, but something that none of those photographers have done, that I know of at least, is photograph themselves giving birth, right? And now it's not graphic. We're not going to go into the actual, you know, delivery section. So it was more just the, you know, the baby coming out. So this woman, she's a professional photographer, Megan Matazu, and we're getting ads for something else coming up. Had decided as soon as she figured out that she was pregnant that she wanted to take her own birth photos. And
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. Of course, she used a Nikon D5, which is, you know, what else would you use in space or in delivery? You're going to use the Nikon. Because that's what we all use is Nikons. So she had decided that she was going to take the own birth photos. And at some point she told the doctors to turn down the lights and only have the one light. So turn off all the lights in the room, only have the one light shining on the delivery area where the doctors need to see what they're doing. And then set up her camera with all the settings and then handed the camera off to the husband and told him, you know, hold this right here. And he held it for another hour and a half or something as, you know, she went through the delivery process. And
so she didn't take the actual pictures.
No, she did. She did. So as, you know, I think she was having some epidural problems. You know, not every pregnancy goes super smooth. Neither one of my wife's went super smooth. But at times she was at a point with pain that she didn't know if she was going to be able to do it. And, I guess at that point her husband could have done it, but she had already set up all the settings based on the lighting scene that was there. And once the baby started being delivered, she then took the camera from the husband, fired, you know, leaned in with her chest and held the camera, you know, on her chest like that. You know, imagine I'm laying down, and then, you know, leaned in and started snapping off photos. And you can see a couple of them here that she took. And to my knowledge, this is the first person to take photos of their own child being delivered.
God almighty.
That is incredible. I think that's, there's one more. There's the same two photos.
I'm almost a little surprised because I remember when my wife was born. I had my camera there, and they, well, I don't know if they wouldn't let me take pictures, but definitely not video. And I think the reason is if something goes wrong, now they have video evidence of it.
Yeah. You know what I think? Something did go wrong with my wife in the hospital as she was having surgery. Is it should be required by law that they have video every surgical thing. One, what did they do to me while I was out? You know, two, it's my word against their word if they screwed up. I want video evidence. So if they didn't screw up and it was just an accident or just, hey, things go wrong, that's one thing. If they screwed up, I think we need video evidence. But yeah, you're right. The hospital, the doctors don't want it in there. And no, people probably go crazy and sue all the time. Yeah. So I get that side of the argument too. But they allowed her to have the camera in there, and I don't know if they did anything to make it, you know, clean or whatever. She's at the other end, and, you know, right. I wouldn't think that too many of her germs are from the camera are spreading down there. But they may have put it in a plastic bag. I didn't read anything in the article about that. But they may have done something to protect it. And she took those photos. I don't know if the later photos would show him at, you know, on the table were taken by her or by her husband. Oh, no, she even got some more photos of her son in the moments after birth. So these are by her, too.
Amazing.
That is a great story to end on. That is, you know, Meg is an incredible person, female, mother now, photographer. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I could barely take photo myself when my wife was delivering.
Yeah.
Much less doing that. But, you know, hey, that's unique. She's not going to be having too many other people who've done that. And, you know, it's, you know, you only give birth to that child once. Christina says there are a lot more cameras. They're a lot more camera friendly in the hospital these days for births. Yeah, my youngest is almost 20. So things have changed quite a bit. That was just one of you. She was just at one a few weeks ago. Shutter release button could work. Shutter release button. I don't know what he's saying there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which one that was in context to.
But she held it. It wasn't like her husband held the camera while she was shooting it. She framed it. She held it. Right. She shot it.
And then when the doctor said, I think if I read, when the doctor said, all right, you're ready for the last push, that's when she took the camera and was ready. So
he held it through all that process because, you know, why does she need to hold it when nothing's going on?
She just needs to hold that, concentrate.
She just needs to hold it at the end and concentrate on the work she's doing. But amazing.
Very, very good.
Yeah. All right. So, I did mention before we'll head, as we head into post show, there's going to be multiple CF Express cards coming out. The one size that'll fit this, there's going to be a smaller size for other cameras, and then ones for even like video cameras. And crap, mine's not even in here. The speeds are going to be insane. So this, my XD card right now is pretty fast. How fast is your card? This is a four. Is it going to come out? Come on. It's not going to focus, is it? No. Come on, focus. 400. It's not going to focus. 400 read write is what this card is. The new CF Express cards are going to be
400 watts. Mine's 95 megs per second.
Okay, these are 633,
but I mean, times 633, but I mean, really, what does that mean?
Well, mine here is a 400 megabits per second, 440 megabits per second.
Now, that's a lot.
This is the
XD card. It doesn't matter. I mean, my camera can't handle it, so no reason to buy it if my camera can't do it.
This is the XQD cards. The new CF Express cards will do as much as 1,400.
Oh, my God.
So that 440 plus another 1,000.
Well, you know when you're going to need it, when you're recording in 4K. That's where you're going to need it. You're not needing it for 10 frames a second.
Yeah. Yes. One of that fast card is one of the reasons that this camera can shoot at 10 frames a second for 200 frames in RAW, and, you know, full RAW, uncompressed RAW. Mm-hmm. And then all you got to do is let off the shutter button and go right back on it. I mean, instantly. And you can do another 200 frames. The only reason they have the 200 frame buffer limit in there is so that you don't just sit there and hold it forever and burn out the shutter mechanism. But, you know, if you wanted to just sit there and hold it 200 shots, let up 200 shots, I have never been in a situation where I ever needed to do that. But part of that speed is because of an XQD card. Mm-hmm. And you're right, as we get more 4K footage, those compact CF Express cards are going to be...
Right, that's what they're going to need. I would imagine that's where they're going to be in demand.
Yep. All right, that wraps up this week. I hope you all enjoyed a couple of the two female-centric things there. One of them, you know, I really respect that one woman for Irene for going out and doing that and showing a video. I when she said to hold it wrong, she showed me how she was holding it. I thought, yeah, you're holding it wrong. But then listening to her and the reasons why, it's, you know.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Anyway. All right. So we're going to head into the post show. Until next show, keep it raw. Good night, everybody.